In this episode with Megan Dahlman, we talk about working on hip mobility and proper breathing techniques to help alleviate back pain more specifically, but it also works with a whole slew of other issues in the body. This is a subject I have spent a lot of time dealing with and researching, obviously, with my back issues. And I'm telling you, you always learn something new from every person out there. So if you're interested as I am, stay tuned. How's it going? This is Brad Williams with Over 40 Fitness Hacks, the podcast where I help you, being over 40, to fight the aging process without giving up your social life. I've been a personal trainer and gym owner for over 14 years, and I specialize in helping the over 40 crowd get to their goals. But enough of that. Let's get on with the episode. This is part 2 of 3 of an interview I did with Megan Dahlman from Self Care Simplified podcast. Well, let's move into that, the lower back. So what is the PSF protocol for people with back pain? Obviously, you just mentioned the first thing, that the hips, got to take care of that, not having your lumbar spine so in that flexible position. What do we need to do for being over 40? Let's do for people who are not injured, as well as someone like me who is injured, needs to be a little bit more careful.
I think a really great place to start, especially noticing what our modern world looks like, it involves a lot of sitting.
Yeah.
And a lot of hunched over, curled in positions. And that is a death sentence for a lumbar spine, for a low back, and for hips. So a great place to start to ensure that you don't deal with issues in the future, or if you've got issues already, we can do some things to help it, is really loosening up the hips. And a good thing to begin working on is adding some mobility to your hip flexors. So much back pain can be attributed to really tight hip flexors. And you've got 7 muscles that run through the front and inner groin area of your hips that act as hip flexors. It's not just the big psoas that we hear about a lot, but it's this whole unit of muscles that kind of work together. And so when you're doing some hip mobility or hip flexing work, it's really important to make sure that you're also stretching out your groin. You're also stretching those inner thigh muscles, and that can release a lot of that pressure on the low back too, because a lot of them attach actually right up on that spine, on your lumbar spine. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice with many people, they operate in what's called this anterior pelvic tilt, right? Where their pelvis is dumped forward. And much of that is a product of having really tight hip flexors or groin muscles on the front. And it pulls the front of your pelvis down and tips the back of your pelvis up. And so now we have an excessive lumbar spine curve called lordosis. And that puts the compressive forces on your lumbar spine. So I have found that so often, if we can release the tension on the front of your hip flexors, your back can finally release and exhale and feel so much happier. So releasing hip flexors, great place to start. And then I love to think in opposites. So releasing the front side, strengthening the back side. So working on glute strength is so key, so important for having happy hips and a happy low back, making your glutes as strong as you can make them. You can't go wrong with strong glutes, right, Brad?
Yeah,
they're the biggest muscle on your body. And for so many people, especially those that sit a lot, their glutes are just not doing
a good
job.
They're not being used at all,
They're not being used at all. And so just spending a few minutes every day doing some good glute bridges, learning how to hip hinge properly, which is a simple way of saying a deadlift, just getting those glute muscles to do their job a little bit better in combination with releasing those hip flexors, your back is going to feel so much happier. Yeah. Those are 2 simple things that people can start with.
I know for myself, having hip flexors that were pretty tight, did exactly what you said, that anterior tilt. And then it's just a cascading problem, because the next thing that happens is lower back starts getting weaker, glutes are weaker, but also finding out that your quads, now that your hips are tilted forward, your quads start shortening and you don't really feel pain or anything in there. But until you start stretching them and realize, oh my God, these things need to be stretched. It's not just your hamstrings. It's the other way.
And now you got a knee problem.
So it's but like you said, everything in order. Let's take care of the hips first. That might actually fix the quads on its own. But you just need to get in a routine of just checking everything and stretching everything and strengthening everything, and not just relying on squats to do everything for you. You got to pinpoint stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And Those deep core muscles too, we didn't quite talk about that yet, but that is key also. And I think a great place for people to start, and this feels so simple, and this is where we come back to that quality of movement over the quantity, learning how to breathe properly. Oh my goodness, the power of good breath pattern work on teaching your core how to do its job better is so huge. And most people skip way over that and say, just get me to the good stuff. I don't need to take my time to learn how to breathe properly. But if you think about it, your diaphragm is the largest muscle in your abdomen, and it is a core muscle. It's a very powerful core muscle, and it can change the pressure on the inside of your canister, on the inside of your abdomen. And that changes the amount of pressure placed on your spine. It can change what those deep abdominal muscles are doing when they support and stabilize your spine, so that if you do find yourself in one of those awkward positions where you're reaching over to the side, lifting up something heavy, you can have that stability around those spinal segments so they don't slide or compress so far and pinch off a disc. And that's huge. That matters so much. And a great place to just start training your core properly is learning how to breathe properly.
Yeah, I learned that about 3 years ago, and I actually had to pay someone to teach me how to do that. And just finding out, pretty much, at least here in Western society, we forgot how to breathe. We breathe with our rib cage, and that's not how we were meant to do. Breathing through our nose, letting our diaphragm do the work, and all the benefits you get from it. Plus, going back to that flight or flight response, that's the easiest way, if you can breathe properly, to calm down your nervous system so you can be a little bit more pain-free, so you can start working on all the stuff we're talking about. Because if you're in massive pain, at the time I was doing it, I couldn't even do all these exercises to even get better until you calm that system down.
Yeah, so important. I couldn't agree more. And that is why breath can be so powerful, is that you can override whatever the default mechanism is going on in the moment. Like what you're experiencing there was like that fight or flight response, like taking really good deep breaths that are that belly style breathing, not breathing up into your collarbones, breathing into your lowest rib. That can actually lower your blood pressure. It can lower your heart rate. It can change that nervous system response. It can actually have an impact on your stress hormones. Like the power of it is crazy. And really, it just takes breathing in through your nose for four, like a count of four, and then out through your mouth for a count of seven or eight. Like just making sure the exhale is slower and longer than the inhale. And that can change that like wiring of what's going on inside your body.
Yeah. When I started doing that style and slowing down all my exercise movements and focusing on that breath work, breathing through that lower rib, like you said, keeping the rib cage down so you feel that lower rib. And also like how much I felt, not just in my abdominals, but more specifically the transverse abdominals. You always hear about doing the stomach vacuums and all that. They feel like they're just working to death, fighting your diaphragm while you're doing this perfect form. So I just feel like such more quality movement in anything you do. It doesn't matter what type of exercise you're doing.
Well, and it can become like a tool that you can use for challenging movements. Once you know how to exhale firmly and feel that good core contraction on the exhale, it's excellent for doing a movement like a push-up, which is normally a challenging motion to do for a lot of people. It's like a moving plank. So the moment you get in that sticky spot when you're down towards like close to the floor, if you do a strong, hard exhale, like a split second before you try to push yourself away from the floor, you will have more stiffness and control through your trunk, and it makes the push-up far better quality of movement and actually a touch easier to do. So it's not like you're trying to move this wobbly noodle. Like you're moving a strong, stiff board, and it's just a better movement. And you can use that in all sorts of things, like a squat. And that's why when you're slowing down your movements, it gives you that opportunity to learn how to coordinate that breath pattern with the movement itself. So super powerful technique to use.
Yeah. Not only for being able to coordinate that breath control, but I think also when you're slowing things down, you can mindfully feel every single muscle doing a squat, like really focusing on the glutes and pulling your adductors in, and you're just getting more out of everything. And God, after you're done, you feel like you got more out of it than if you just banged out 15 reps on a squat as heavy as you can go.
100%. Yeah. So much better.
Yep. It only took me 40 years to get to that point. So that's my mission. Yeah. get people to start doing it earlier.
You got to feel it for yourself and be like, oh, don't do it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you'd like a little bit of help checking out your diet and your current routine, I'd be happy to help. I always do a free 15-minute Zoom consultation for anyone, no strings attached, just to see if I can help point you in the right direction. So if you're interested, check out the show notes. The link is at the top. Hey, everyone. I would just like to thank each and every one of you for supporting my show. My numbers over the years have just been growing and growing on this podcast. One thing that could really help me and something you could do as a listener would be go on to iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. Any other podcast service like Spotify and Podchaser is also great, but iTunes is really where the magic happens for us being podcasters. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the next episode.